The New Testament lesson today is taken from the Gospel of Mark. And I find Mark to be very matter-of-fact. He doesn't polish anything up. He just tells you like it is. When I was reading this, I was thinking this rich young man was very blessed because Jesus asked him straightforward, "Follow me. Come with me." And then I thought to myself, would I go if I got that invitation? Starts chapter 10, verse 17. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother." "Teacher," he declared, "all of those I have kept since I was a boy." Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack," he said. "Go, sell everything you have and give to the poor, and then you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." At this, the man's face fell, and he went away sad because he had great wealth. May the Lord add understanding to the reading of his word.
Amen. Thank you, Julie. You know, sometimes things happen to me throughout the week and they inspire a sermon. That's what happened to me last Sunday. You see, you all need to understand, I think some of it's genetic, but I'm directionally challenged. I'll go on a trip and I'll pull into a restaurant and I come out of the restaurant. In fact, which way did I turn when I came into the restaurant? Was it left or right? And then I find myself having to look at the GPS to see which way I've got to go. Thank God for GPS. That was created for me. Me. Specifically, GPS was created for me. But anyway, last week, my wife and I went on a UTV ride with my daughter and his husband and family, and also another family was out there, and we were going down these trails, which I didn't know where we were going, and I was the last one in the three UTVs that went. We got to a point, it was kind of dusty, by the way, on some of these sandy roads, and we got to a certain point along where we were going, and they got a little bit far ahead of me because I couldn't see what was going on. It came to a fork. Now, out there in those trails, there are tire tracks that go both ways. Which way do I go? I don't know. Now, I also had Amber, my other daughter, with me, and Ryan, her soon-to-be at some point husband, and we didn't know which way we were supposed to turn. So we went one direction instead of the other. Ended up down the road, we couldn't find them anywhere, and so, thank God for phones, we finally called. And in fact, at one point, I looked at the phone because my daughter, who was in the other UTV, has an app on there, Find My Phone or whatever. We were 3.1 miles away from them. I took a wrong turn at the fork. Found them later, but it took a little while. I wanted to talk a little bit this morning about forks in the road. And when I look at the text this morning, both texts that were read this morning, there were people in these texts that found themselves, in essence, in the fork in a road. They had to make a decision. I love the story about Elijah and Mount Carmel because it's one of those kind of testosterone kind of things where you get up there in the mountains like, hey, bring it, you know, bring it. But I wanted to read what was happening previous to that, and it was this whole matter of this fork in the road that Elijah was faced with. God had been telling him that he needed to go find Ahab. He needed to address Ahab, and Elijah didn't want to. You know why he didn't want to. Because Ahab wanted to kill him. Ahab and Jezebel wanted more than any other person in that entire country, they wanted Elijah dead. They were an evil king and queen. Perhaps amongst the most evil there ever was, Ahab and Jezebel. They searched for him for a long time and they couldn't find him. And God told Elijah, previous to the text and in the text itself, God told Elijah that he needed to confront Ahab. Now, that's a lot different fork than what I was faced with last week. His was really a fork in which he was looking at, I'm going to die? If I take this fork you're suggesting, because you see, Elijah knew where God was and he knew which way he needed to go if he wanted to follow God. You see, if I was a little closer to my son-in-law who was driving his machine, I would have known which fork to take, but I was a little farther back. I didn't know which way he went, and I was confused. We know the rest of the story in this one. Elijah did choose to go ahead and follow that fork that God had told him to. But there was another one in this picture too that was having the same issue with a fork in the road. Obadiah. It says in the text previous to this that Obadiah was a devout believer in God. As you well know, he was hiding people who were followers of God and trying to protect them. But one thing he did not want to do is be the person who would show Elijah to Ahab when he thought probably what would happen is Elijah would take off after he just had this conversation with Obadiah, and Obadiah would be dead. You see how dangerous this fork was for him as well? Here he is at this fork. He didn't know, like I said, whether Elijah would leave him because he'd been hiding all the time anyway. That was kind of like almost a, oh, there's Elijah kind of a thing. You know, like you see someone at the grocery store. Although, probably not the same kind of thing back then. Obadiah basically was saying to Elijah, either you're going to die or I'm going to die. But one of us is going to die because of what we're faced with here today. But you know, even faced with that, if you're at the fork in the road and God is over here in this fork saying, come, follow me, we're called to follow. No matter what we may think the outcome might be, we're called to follow. And that's hard to do sometimes when you think you know what's going to be happening down the road with that. In this case, they didn't die. Ahab and Elijah did meet. They had their competition on Mount Carmel. And oh, I love it when the enemy just got humiliated. Satan, you are no match for God. No match for God. Elijah and Obadiah took the right fork in the road. As difficult of a decision as it was to be, they took the right fork in the road because they were close enough to the one who was telling them, you need to go this direction. Sometimes you and I find ourselves in our lives far enough away from God, we find it difficult to know which way we go with this fork. We don't know what to do. There was also the rich young man in the New Testament. He too was faced with a fork. He was a good man. He was a moral man, but he knew he was missing something. That's why he came to Jesus. He was a wealthy guy, but he was a moral guy. You think, well, you got everything you need, right? You're a good guy and you're a wealthy guy. What more do you need? Well, his heart was missing something. His heart was really missing Jesus, wasn't it? And Jesus confronted him with this. In essence, what Jesus was doing was setting him up to say, how much do you love God? Are you willing to take the fork that will cause you to let go of some of those things that you value big time in order to follow me? Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to do that? How much do you love me? And you know the rest of that story. This rich man loved his wealth so much that he went away very sad and took the wrong direction in the fork in the road. What do you and I do with the forks in the road? That fork that I took, I was distracted by a bunch of things. I was distracted by dust. I was distracted by an unfamiliar road. And I couldn't see where the others went. We find ourselves sometimes in that same boat, don't we? The dust that we might be facing might be things like sin itself. I can't see because I'm stuck in sin and I don't want to let go of whatever it is God wants me to let go of. We're distracted by whatever's going on. Maybe it's health distractions or financial distractions or relationship distractions or whatever it might be. And they cause us to miss that fork in the road. We didn't see. We couldn't see or didn't allow ourselves to see the direction God wanted us to go. And you know that unfamiliar territory scares us sometimes, doesn't it? I'm not scared at all to go out on those rides with Caleb because he knows all the trails around here. So I pay no attention to anything and I just go. Except when he gets too far ahead and I got dust and I can't see. Then I'm in trouble. But sometimes unfamiliar territory scares us, doesn't it? We'd rather stay in the comfort of what we know, right? And once you hit a fork in the road, why do I have to have a fork in the road? Why can't I just take this path I've been in all along? That's the same old path I've been doing, and I've been doing just fine in this path. Why do I have to be faced with this fork in the road? I want you to know something, though, as we walk these paths and we come to a fork. We may not know the terrain, but God does. We may not even know when we get to that fork exactly which way we need to go with that fork. But God does. Here's an assumption. If I had stopped my machine and got out and paid really close attention to the tracks, I think I might have made a better decision as to which fork to take. Because they were just barely ahead of us. It wasn't like there was anyone else along there that was going to go along the track and mess things up. You see what I'm saying? Sometimes at the fork of the road, you might need to take a little bit of time to sit there and to pray and ask God, which way do I go with this fork I find myself in the road? God will show you. And in fact, I'll tell you what. Even if you pray and you don't really have an answer from God and you take a fork that you think you're supposed to go down, God will tell you if you've gone a little ways down that fork, Dave, you've got to go back. It's the other road I want you to take. He does that sometimes too. You know, we weren't meant to do this alone. God's always on the trail with us. He doesn't want to leave us behind, but sometimes you and I are lollygagging back there and we aren't paying any attention to what God wants us to do. Wisdom will show us which fork in the road we ought to take. It's wise for us to also be with others who follow God and trust God to help us with our fork in the road. Sometimes those forks in the road are forks that you and I have to take as individuals. And sometimes those forks of the road are things we have to take as a church. And I want to tell you about something that's coming down the road for us as a church. We're going to have to make a decision like we did several years ago with one of our denominations. Which way we're going to go in a fork. And I pray that God would give us wisdom to do what God wants us to do and not what someone else wants us to do. I'm absolutely convinced God will do that. But we need to pray. Because sometimes we find ourselves in that fork and we're not sure what to do. What do I do, God? We've got to do something. And God will lead us and God will guide us. We need not fear. I trust Him with all of this. God is good. Sometimes the road map to us maybe isn't quite that obvious. Trust the map. Or maybe I should use in modern times, trust the GPS. It's the Bible. It's the Bible. Trust God's Word. And when someone tells us it is not God's Word, but it's another book, it's the wrong fork. Trust God and trust the Holy Spirit that He will lead us. The Holy Spirit will only lead us in line with God's Word. Surround yourself with people who trust too. Then go in faith. Because God says, I'll never leave you. And I will never forsake you. Personally and corporately, we need to take the fork where God seems to be leading. Pray. Read His Word. Be with other believers. Seek wisdom. I want to close with this. You know, when I was on that journey and I got lost and I was 3.1 miles away, you know where I stopped to get direction? The Bliss Church. Isn't there an irony in that? Where I stopped was at the corner. I know I'd gone the wrong way. We stopped right there at the church. I think God's trying to tell us something this morning. When you feel lost, or even if you took the wrong fork like I did, stop. Seek Him. He'll get you back where you need to go. Or sometimes, He'll come and get you like my son-in-law did. They came and got us. And then we went on our merry way after that. So folks, the future, we do not have to be unafraid because God's at the helm. Whenever we get at forks in the road, let's just trust Him completely and wholly, and He'll lead us wherever it is we need to go. I believe that with all of my heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's turn in closing to our last hymn. I know whom I have believed. 409, and also up on the screen. As you are able this morning, would you stand with me?